Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist and host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Speak Up is CJSF's morning talk hour, where we play various pieces that are produced here in-house at the station, as well as others that are produced all across Canada from other local community radio stations. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Before we get started with this episode, I just want to acknowledge that this program is broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hukumilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And I feel very, very grateful to be able to speak with all of you today to share some of the pieces and music that we have here at the station. So, to start off, before I get into any of the speaking up part of Speak Up, I'm going to start off with a bit of music. And, you know, we're reaching the end of the year, and at this time, I like to reminisce about some of the albums and some of the songs that I really enjoyed, one of which is one that's been played a lot on this show, as well as various other programs at CJSF. So this has been a band that has been definitely within the charts for quite a while. This is none other than Self Care off of their newest album, Doggy. Tracks titled Something Different. Hope you enjoy, and thank you for tuning in this hour.
I think
And we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. That last track was titled Something's Different by Self Care, a Vancouver band that has been getting a lot of play here over the past year, over the past few months since this album came out here at the station. And I decided to keep it going into the new year. You know, we're December 30th, but who knows? Who knows if they'll be played in 2026, probably. But also a lot of other amazing music, which is why you should keep tuning in to CJSF. The playlist is always getting updated, and we are always presenting new and fresh things for all of you, dear listeners. Coming up next is an interview that I did recently with the Teaching Support Staff Union here at Simon Fraser University. I was able to speak with Melissa Radford, which is the organization's chief steward organizer, as well as Amna S. Ali, another organizer with the TSSU. This interview was about a recent decision that had been made by the BC Labor Relations Board, determining that graduate student research assistants should be considered employees under the BC Labor Code, something that had not been the case before and for a very long time. Since that decision has been made, there's still been some contention between the TSSU and SFU, and that is what this interview is about. So please take a listen. The reason I wanted to speak with both of you today is because of the recent decision that had been made by the BC Labor Relations Board that now recognizes graduate student research assistants as employees under the Labor Relations Code, something that hadn't been the case for ever since before then. And I just wanted to know if either of you could just explain what that represents, what that decision means.
Yeah, I can start. And I think this is a landmark decision for which the union has been working for almost 2 decades. And there's only recently they've have been able to get this landmark decision from the Labor Relations Board, but this is because of unionizing and campaigning for GSRAs and RAs in general as well. So I think this is like a historic moment for the union, for the RAs, as well as SFU.
How long has this been something that the TSSU has been advocating for?
I think well over 2 decades now. So we have had campaigns dating back to 2012, and then the push has been a lot stronger in the past few years. We also had research workers unionized officially and included in the collective agreement this March. And this class of workers is different than GSRAs because those are workers making taxable income, whereas GSRAs are right now just making scholarship income for their earnings.
Okay. And, you know, in TSSU's statement regarding this decision, I noticed one thing that I wanted to ask about, which was, it specifically says in the statement that SFU has spent millions of dollars and countless hours opposing its own research workers in decisions such as this. I was wondering if you'd be able to explain or expand on that.
Mm. So they have spent so much money on legal costs fighting against the unionization of research workers on campus for many years now. And they've been, you know, holding strong that research workers are not workers. They're just studying and doing things for their own personal academic pursuits. But they are, SFU is a research enterprise, and research makes them a lot of profit. And the people doing that work are primarily the research workers on campus, as well as other people as well, too. But this is a huge win for us because now these workers are recognized as employees and as workers. And now SFU is actually still spending more money trying to appeal to the Labor Relations Board. But, you know, all that money that they've spent fighting us and trying to prevent our unionization and trying to get us on technicalities has not worked. And now we encourage them, instead of spending all this money on appealing the decision, to actually put that towards paying workers fair and livable wages. But they are not doing so at present date.
Mm-hmm. And the not being considered as workers, but there was a technical wage beforehand, and I believe that was something around $2 an hour, roughly?
So I looked back at one of my pay stubs from 2022 when I was in a master's program, and I would have to work as a TA to get most of my income, but then I was researching full-time on the side, and it was actually worked out to 99 cents an hour, the rate that I was being paid for the hours that I was working each week. So it's even less than $2 an hour.
Right, and what is the justification for that? Because I think you hear about any form of labor or any form of work, you know, outside of full-on volunteering, and you would think that just, you know, 99 cents an hour or $2 an hour is a ludicrous amount of money to be receiving. Has SFU ever explained the rationale behind that decision?
Well, they didn't think GSRAs were workers or that they were doing work. They thought they were doing it for their own personal academic pursuits and to fulfill thesis requirements, and they didn't see the work that we were doing as benefiting the university or PIs. They thought it was all for personal academic pursuits only, so they didn't have to pay a living wage or really a wage at all, and oftentimes those wages were paid in scholarships in place of taxable income. So that would affect you as well, because you wouldn't be able to file for things like EI or other benefits if needed once you stopped working as a GSRA.
What are the next steps now for the union in step with SFU? Now that this decision has been made by the BC Labor Relations Board and SFU still seems to not be on board, what needs to happen next?
Basically, TSSU is demanding that all the benefits go out right now and in full, whereas the university is still looking for more time after we ratify a collective agreement to then go into effect. Like, the benefits can only then go into effect, and that too after like 6 months or 4 months after the ratification of a collective agreement that we're already bargaining with the university. And so that is not acceptable to the union. And of course that everybody needs living wage, including RAs and GSRAs, right away. And so they're looking at more like strict system of where hours need to be put in, etc. So it's kind of a model where it's more based per hour, but whereas we're saying that it should be more so like a salary-based model. So those are the basic demands that we're looking at.
Okay. To add to that, so we had pre-bargained with the employer that GSRAs, if the decision was positive in our favor, would be included in all of the collective agreement language immediately, excluding the definition of what a GSRA is, wages, and benefits. So those are the outstanding things. We bargained with SFU last week on December 11th and tabled our first proposal for what GSRA compensation, benefits, and definition should be, and we are negotiating with SFU ongoing into January, but since there's a break for now, we won't hear back from them until the new year.
Okay. Is SFU unique in this reaction? Have you seen what other universities in BC are doing, and if there's a similar sort of antagonistic relationship between the student workers' unions and the universities?
Yes. So over at UBC, our comrades at QP2278 represent teaching assistant staff members, and they are also trying to unionize to include RAs. And we both filed cases at the Labor Relations Board around the same time in 2023, and we were both expecting an update. Unfortunately, a decision did not go in QP2278's favor back then. But since then, while we've been waiting for our decision, you know, they've been appealing the process on their end. And now that we have a decision that happened to be in our favor, this is a great precedent setting for universities BC-wide, but also Canada-wide, and also even internationally, that research is work, and these people should be recognized as workers. So this is happening over at UBC. They're pushing back and, you know, trying to exclude research workers from being unionized. So QP2278 is holding strong and fighting back against them, and we are in solidarity with them for sure.
Mm-hmm. How do you hope that students, SFU students specifically, come to support the union in these efforts in sort of mediating a somewhat working relationship between TSSU and SFU?
Yeah, I think that our power comes from our members. And so it is really important that our members, first of all, know their rights and then are willing and build their capacities to come forward in campaigning, because all of this work would not have been possible without such work from previous generations of RAs and members. So we want to keep that pressure up, and we want to organize the members moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've also been hosting info sessions for our members to let them know what rights they have available to them now and what changes are coming for them in the future and what we're fighting for continuously. But we do ask our members to show up to the bargaining table to show support and to see what actually happens and to see what SFU is saying, you know, straight from the table. So we do encourage members to get more involved as well, too. There are lots of committees that we have that do a lot of great work, and this is how we get everything done around here. So if people are interested in learning more or participating further, they're welcome to contact us, and we can give them the details for that, too.
Okay. You know, even with this decision being made, it does seem like there's a lot of work that still needs to be done on the union's part as well as SFU's. However, would you say there is still, like, an air of optimism now that this decision has been made, that real change for GSRAs can finally happen?
Yes. So we are optimistic. This was a 126-page ruling with very clear evidence that shows researchers' work. One of SFU's witnesses who testified even said research and work are the same side, or are different sides of the same coin. So you can't distinguish between research and work being different things. They overlap with each other. They are the same thing. Their own witness said that. So it's very clear that research is work, and the arbitrator did rule in favor of that very strongly. And I would encourage anybody to read the ruling. It's a 126 PDF page document, but you know, it's a fun read. I would definitely give it a read. There's some really great quotes in there that'll make you raise your eyebrow or maybe give you a chuckle, but there is an air of optimism, and it's really great that we're wrapping up this year on such a positive note. And we also did start the year on a pretty positive note too, getting the wage RAs ratified and into the collective agreement. So that was, 2025 has been a pretty good year, and we're hoping to keep the positive energy moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Once again, thank you to Melissa Radford and Amna S. Ali of the Teaching Support Staff Union here at Simon Fraser University for that interview. We'll see where that goes in the coming months, and you can bet that you will find more coverage on it here at CJSF. Coming up next, we have another music break on the way, and here is another song from another artist who really, really grab my attention this year. This is from McKinley Dixon off of his latest album. I believe it was titled Magic Live. And this track, like many of the track titles on the album, is quite joyous and expressive, and also includes an exclamation. So coming up next, we've got We're Outside Rejoice by McKinley Dixon. Whether you're outside or not, I'm not sure, but hopefully you can rejoice to this awesome song.
Thank you. The child born under sun, lift him up, we gon' hoist. When you yelling at the sky, hide the crack in your voice, cause
the outside, rejoice, rejoice.
Please remember that it ain't what it seems. Stars and concrete used to map on my dreams. I could use blasphemy to do miraculous deeds when we
outside, rejoice, rejoice.
I love laying with you here in the grass. Feels like it was just us in the world that passed. When we prayed that one summer really wasn't gonna last. But
we outside, rejoice, rejoice.
Ground connect to me through the heartbeat. You can hear the car yelling, ringing down the whole street. How me and all my niggas celebrate all our feats go.
We outside, rejoice, rejoice.
Till death do us sin, never ran, less against, raise hand to my kin. Sitting on the porch with man who can barely use limbs. Probably the only vice from niggas I'm finna take in. Had to make a decision, either we all stay here and we gon' take what is given or I escape alone. Thus making paradise prison, beloved, I'm sorry I left. The view wasn't giving me enough ammunition, had to get out. Might just break the seams, hold it against me. It's summertime, everyone schemes. From the legends to the dope man, the poets and fiends. Hoping what I brought back is enough to redeem. Memories that made your eyes cry when you sung. Found a way to describe my heart beating in my lungs. Feel alive in the ocean, my face a hell sun. Grab your hand with no plan and we, yeah. Through an obvious choice, the child born under sun. Lift them up, we gon' hoist. When you yelling at the sky, hide the crack in your voice. Cause
we outside, rejoice, rejoice.
Please remember that it ain't what it seems. Stars and concrete used to map on my dreams. I could use blasphemy to do miraculous deeds when we
outside, rejoice, rejoice.
I love laying with you here in the grass. Feels like it was just us in the world that passed. When we prayed that one summer really wasn't gonna last. But we
outside, yeah, rejoice, yeah. Rejoice.
Ground connected me through the heartbeat. You can hear the car yelling, ringing down the whole street. How me and all my niggas celebrate all our feats ago.
We outside, rejoice, rejoice.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, saying you're listening to CJSF Burnaby and do-do-loo-do CJSF.
Yeah. You heard Nardwar. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and you are listening specifically to Speak Up Only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This next piece that I'm going to play for all of you is one I produced also quite recently. And it is about a pretty contentious topic within the Burnaby Heights area, specifically about the bus rapid transit expansion, which is supposed to go from the North Shore to Metrotown. TransLink is currently exploring two different options for this expansion, one that would go through Burnaby Heights, and that specific option is the one that is a bit contentious because while there are definitely a lot of people in support of increased public transit in an area such as Burnaby Heights, it is currently seeing a lot of opposition, specifically from the local businesses in the area, as well as the Heights Merchant Association. I wanted to do a piece on it, but I didn't think it would be right to just get one of those perspectives, so I did two separate interviews, and I put it together into one piece. So first person I spoke to was Isabel Kolick of the Heights Merchants Association, and then I also spoke to Michelle Scar of Movement YVR, a local transit advocacy organization. And I'm not telling you to come to any conclusions here at all. I just want people to understand what the differing perspectives are on this topic. So, further ado, I hope you take a listen. Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. TransLink, the transportation network for Metro Vancouver, had recently been seeking feedback on a public transit expansion that would create a bus rapid transit or BRT route from Metrotown and Burnaby to the North Shore. BRT is a form of bus-based rapid transit that provides designated bus lanes, transit signal priority at intersections, and weather-protected stations on designated BRT bus routes. The public feedback for this plan will help decide between two route options. Option 1, which would connect via Hastings Street and Willingdon Avenue in the Burnaby Heights area, and Option 2, which would connect via Boundary Road and Lougheed Highway, meaning that transit coverage in Burnaby Heights would remain mostly unchanged. BRT Option 1 has seen significant opposition from the Burnaby Heights Merchants Association and the area's small businesses, the primary reason being the loss of street parking that a designated bus lane along the area would cause. Movement YVR, a public transit advocacy group in Metro Vancouver, has the opposite view and believes that Option 1 would incentivize more people to visit the Burnaby Heights area and in turn support its various businesses. We reached out to both organizations for their perspectives and were able to speak with both Isabel Kolick, Executive Director of the Merchants Association, and Michelle Scar, Director of Operations and Strategy at Movement YVR. We asked both of them to explain their organization's stance on the planned BRT route from Metrotown and Burnaby to the North Shore. First, here is what Isabel Kolick of the Heights Merchants Association had to say.
If the merchants do well, the community does well, and vice versa. So we have consistently tried to reflect what the community wants in whatever positions we've taken. And I can sincerely tell you, Danny, I've talked to around 150 people, either through email. This is in the last, since August, let's say. I've talked to people on the phone. I've had dozens of people come in my office to talk to me face to face. I've had people write me emails, and then I've exchanged emails with them many times over. I've had people write us a lot of different perspectives. But out of the 150 people that have contacted us, and I'm sure there's probably more than this out there in the world, but only 6 of them favored having a BRT come through the Heights, remove all the parking, and leave the merchants kind of stranded and trying to compete with the Kensington Squares and the Brentwoods and the Costcos. And, you know, in this day and age when Amazon is king and convenience is king, the customer who's multifaceted, right? We don't have one kind of customer. We don't have only able-bodied or only transit-taking customers. We've got, you know, families who are hauling kids or who are bringing their pets to the vet.